Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everyone. This is Evangelist August Pizzano with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries. Welcome to our program. As we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy and the soon return of our Lord Jesus at the rapture of the church. It is great to be here with all of you today. And so thank you so much, folks, for tuning in to our program. Unfortunately, we are not able to live stream the show on Facebook. We have many, many people who watch on Facebook, especially when I come on Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we've been studying the prophetic books of the Bible. And of course, you can follow me on all of the social networks. Follow me on Facebook, simply August Rosado. And if I don't have you as a friend on Facebook, you can still tune in and watch my videos live every morning, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, because they're public. So that means anybody with a Facebook account and with a profile page, they can tune in to the one-hour live streaming broadcast. Again, that's Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, we record the Blog Talk Radio shows, Today in Bible Prophecy Radio, so that we can upload them to YouTube. So that way, all of those that are following me on YouTube and those who see the videos, they'll be able to watch the radio show. Those that are listening audio will be able to listen to the broadcast. You can also follow me on Twitter, Bible_prophecy. I list all of the major leading news stories on Twitter. We have over 3,300 news stories on my Twitter account. So Bible_prophecy, or you can just simply just follow me there as August Rosado. And then, of course, on LinkedIn, we post the archive of the radio show on LinkedIn. And we have a website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. You can go there, sign up for our newsletters. They go every single week. And, of course, you can watch our video, audio of my Bible teaching on prophecy there on todayinbibleprophecy.org. And, of course, you can also support the ministry with a secure PayPal button that is on there. And so we appreciate all of you. And, of course, we have a Bible prophecy tour that will be leaving for Israel. That would be March 25th through April the 6th. It's going to be 11 days in Israel. It will be Israel, including Petra in southern Jordan. And I will be teaching Bible prophecy on all of those locations right there in Petra as well as there in Israel. So if you would like to join me in Israel, well, you can send me an email, august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. If you want to provide your contact information, phone number, I'll be more than happy to call you back. Or you can go to the website, christiantourstoisrael.com, and you will see our tour is on that website. They also go by Israel Tours LLC, but the website is christiantourstoisrael.com. But you can also call our tour operator, Eyal Eben, toll-free 1-888-300-3038. 1-888-300-3038. That's 1-888-300-3038. Talk to my tour agent, Eyal Eben, E-Y-A-L, Eyal Eben, E-V-A-N. Let Eyal know that you would like to join me on the Bible Prophecy Tour to Israel, March 25th through April the 6th. And, of course, it's all-inclusive, which includes your round-trip airfare, your hotels, buffet breakfast and dinner daily. Everything's all buffet. All the food is buffet. And transportation to all the holy sites, including Petra. And so the tour price is extremely low. You will never find a tour price. Last time, our people paid about $3,450 per person, $3,450 per person. That includes Israel and Petra in southern Jordan. We'll spend a whole day there in Petra, and after our, you know, excursion in Petra, they'll have a nice, nice big buffet dinner waiting for us, and then we'll go back into Israel. And so you need to come to Israel. I guarantee you, you'll never read your Bible the same way again. So, again, contact me via email, August, like the month, August.todayinbibleprophecy, prophecy spelled with a C, @gmail.com. Tomorrow morning in Bellingham, Massachusetts, I will be preaching at First Baptist Church. This church is pastored by my good friend, Pastor Baron Rodericks, and we're looking forward to being there for the morning service and preaching the Word of God to them. And what I'm going to be talking about at the church tomorrow morning is what I'm going to be talking about. What I'm going to be talking about today on the broadcast, and that is the King of Glory and the gate of the Temple Mount. The King of Glory and the gate of the Temple Mount. So if you live in Bellingham, Massachusetts, or any of the surrounding areas, I will be preaching there. I got a frog in my throat. Man, I hate when that happens. I'll be preaching there tomorrow morning during the 9:30 and the 10:30 a.m. services. And we would love to have you join us for this Bible Prophecy Sunday at First Baptist Church on Main Street in Bellingham, Massachusetts. The following week, I'll be back in Bellingham, Massachusetts, and I'll be preaching at Bellingham Bible Baptist Church on November 27th. This church, pastored by my good friend and Brother Rick Mosier. And if you can be available next Sunday, we would love to meet you. But if you can make it this Sunday, we would love to have you if you live anywhere in that area. So what I'd like to do right now is get into the Word of God. And what I'd like to do now is go to Psalm chapter number 24. So I would encourage you that if you have your Bible, go over to Psalm 24 and look with me in verses 7 through 10. Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10. One of my favorite passages here in Psalm 24. And he says this in verse number 7. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up in your everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Psalm 24 is a psalm of Melech David, which is Hebrew for King David. David is the author of most of the psalms in the Bible, but this particular psalm here in Psalm 24, he talks about the future gates of Jerusalem that will one day be opened when the Messiah, the Mashiach, goes through that very gate. Now, according to the rabbis, there were two Messiahs. No, there were one, but he said he came in two forms. One was Mashiach ben Yosef, Messiah, the son of Joseph, who would be the suffering Messiah, just like Joseph suffered at the hands of his brethren, was sold to the Midianites, and then sold into Potiphar in Egypt. And then in the future, the rabbis say, there would be Mashiach ben David, Messiah, the son of David, who would be the future reigning Messiah. David talks about this future reigning Messiah, the King of Glory, who will one day go through that eastern gate, and he will one day reign from the city of Jerusalem. You know, folks, what's interesting is that during the Six-Day War of 1967, and that is when the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, was going to blow up the eastern gate of Jerusalem. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to surprise, overtake the Jordanian forces who were occupying the city at that time. And there was a religious Jewish soldier within the IDF. And as they wanted to blow up the eastern gate in Jerusalem and surprise the Jordanians, this religious Jewish soldier told the Israeli commander, listen, you cannot blow up the eastern gate. When he was asked why by his Israeli commander, he said, the eastern gate must remain sealed, and only the Messiah can go through this very gate. So we cannot blow this gate up. So instead, the Israeli Defense Force went through the Lion's Gate, and they overtook the Jordanian forces occupying the city at that time. And within 6 days, Jerusalem was reunified, and Jerusalem is back where it belongs, in the hands of the Jewish people. Now, the religious Jewish soldier was referring to the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 43, verses 1 through 3. That prophecy is eschatological in nature concerning the eastern gate in Jerusalem facing the Mount of Olives on the east. And, you know, when you look at, you know, Ezekiel chapter number 43, verses, he tells us that one day the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, will one day go through that very gate. He said, afterwards, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. That would be the eastern gate. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like the noise of many waters. And the earth shined with his glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the visions that I saw by the river Kabar, and I fell on my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east, or facing toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now, that's an eschatological prophecy, because from Ezekiel chapters 40 through 46, 202 detailed verses that go into detail about Messiah's temple, or the millennial temple, that fourth temple that will stand on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Ezekiel chapter 43, verse number 1 says, the gate of the Temple Mount faces toward the east. And whenever we take our tour groups to Israel, we go to the Mount of Olives, and we're looking at the Temple Mount from the east where we're standing on the Mount of Olives. And clearly we can see the eastern gate right there. It's on a higher elevation from the road below, and in front of it is an Arab cemetery. And I'll get to that in a few moments, and I'll tell you why it's been sealed. But Ezekiel chapter 43 and verse number 1 says that the Messiah and his second coming will come from the east, and he will go right through that very gate. Now, Zechariah tells us in chapter 14, verse 2, which describes the second coming of Jesus, not the rapture, that's before the tribulation period, but at his second coming at the end of the tribulation, Zechariah, and on that day, shall his feet touch the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave or split in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half the valley shall remove toward the north and half toward the south. So when Jesus comes back at his second coming, he will come toward the east, and his feet will touch the Mount of Olives. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 43 and verse number 2, Ezekiel sees the glory of God. When we say the glory of God in Hebrew, we say Kavod Elohim. Kavod Elohim. The glory of God, or the Kavod Elohim, Ezekiel says he's coming from the east. Zechariah says he's coming from the east. Ezekiel describes the glory of the Lord as his voice was like the noise of many waters. Now that should remind you, folks, of John's description of Jesus in all his glory in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 18. This is the same description that John uses of Jesus in Revelation 1:18. He says, and his feet like unto fine brass as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many. Description of God in Ezekiel chapter 43 and verse number 2 is the same description described of Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. And when John saw the Lord in his glory, the radiance of Jesus will illuminate the earth at his second coming. Revelation 18:1 says the same exact thing, that when he returns, you know, the earth was illuminated by his glory. And then, of course, we see in Ezekiel chapter 10, in Ezekiel chapter number 10, Ezekiel saw something that horrified him. He sees the glory of God depart the temple because of Israel's disobedience at that time. The glory of God came up from the temple, out of the most holy place, or commonly called the Holy of Holies, and then drift over the Kidron Valley, over the Mount of Olives, and then ascended back up into heaven from the Mount of Olives, all because of Israel's sin and Israel's disobedience. And that glory, or what they say, Shekinah, or Shekinah, ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives, never to return, until a way later future date. Jesus also descended from the Mount of Olives. Like the glory of God descended from the Mount of Olives. In Ezekiel 10, Jesus descended ascended back up into heaven from the Mount of Olives. And we see that in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 9. When he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So God the Father in his glory ascended up into heaven from the Mount of Olives. Jesus also descended from the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. But when John saw Jesus again in Revelation, he saw Jesus in his full deity. He saw Jesus in all of his glory. Because when Jesus was on earth, Jesus was dwelling with two natures. We call it the hypostatic union, in which Jesus was perfect man without the taint of original sin, his humanity, and he was perfect deity. He was God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth in the flesh. Again, folks, this is called the hypostatic union. Two natures dwelling in one. And that was Jesus when he was here on earth in the first century. However, in the future, folks, the Jewish prophet Ezekiel sees a day when the Kavod Elohim shall Israel, the glory of the God of Israel, will return to the Mount of Olives, and then he will go into the eastern gate on the Temple Mount, and he will erect a millennial temple. And Ezekiel talks about that temple in chapters 40 through 46, covering 202 detailed verses. In Ezekiel chapter 43 and verse number 3, God gave Ezekiel this vision when he was in Babylon as a Jewish prophet of the exile. Daniel and Ezekiel were the prophets, the Jewish prophets of the exile. Daniel was taken into Babylon in 605 B.C. Ezekiel was taken in 597 B.C., both to Babylon. And then in 586 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. And Ezekiel was by the river Chebar, which is in Babylon, modern-day Iraq today, and the river Kebar was tributary to the Euphrates River when Ezekiel received this vision. In Ezekiel chapter 43 and in verse number 4, the Jewish prophet saw the kavod. He saw the glory of God. He saw the kavod shel Hashem, the glory of the Lord God, the glory of Hashem, come into the temple, Messiah's temple. As I said, spoken of by Ezekiel in detailed chapters and verses, chapters 40 through 46, covering 202 verses describing the temple, that fourth temple in the kingdom to come. We know that there were two past temples, Solomon and Herod's temple. There'll be a future third temple, the Tribulation Temple, or often called the Temple of the Antichrist. And then a fourth temple that Ezekiel describes as Messiah's temple or the Millennial Temple. In Ezekiel chapter 43 and in verse number 5, the Ruach HaKodesh, which in Hebrew is the Holy Spirit, took up Ezekiel and took him up into the inner temple courtyard where he witnesses the Kavod Adonai, the glory of the Lord, fill the house. So in Ezekiel 10, he saw a departure of the glory of the Lord out of the temple back into heaven. And in the future, Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 43 and verse 5, we'll see a future return of that Kavod Adonai, the glory of the Lord, that will one day fill the house, which would be that future temple. Folks, one day the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, opened the gate of the Temple Mount. And when he does that, he will erect a fourth temple described by Zechariah in chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. And looking at Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, it says the Messiah himself will rebuild or erect that fourth temple. He says in verse 12 of Zechariah 6, and speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man, Ha'ish, in Hebrew, Ha'ish, the man, whose name is the branch, Ha'sarit, in Hebrew. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord. And he shall bear the glory, the kavod, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both. What it means, the council of peace, or shalom, shall be between them both, meaning Yeshua the Messiah and the people that have rejected him for the past 2,000 years, the Jewish people. Because Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 39, the next time you see me, Israel, you're not going to reject me. The next time you see me, you will say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. So Zechariah 6, 12 and 13 says the Messiah will build that fourth temple, and his glory will fill the house. The house in Hebrew is Ha-Bayit. Ha-Bayit, the house. It will fill the temple, Ha-Mikdash in Hebrew, or the holy temple, Beit HaMikdash. So the glory of the Lord will one day in the future, in the millennial kingdom, in a fourth temple, a millennial temple, Messiah's temple, will fill that very house. What's interesting, folks, is that a recent news report came from the Times of Israel that reported that Temple Mount political activists in the Knesset, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, to, I quote, open the gates of prayer on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem for the right for Jews and Christians, or for anyone else to go up on the Temple Mount to pray without being accosted by the Muslim authorities that are up there. And folks, one of the main guys who is pushing this is a man by the name of Yehuda Glick. Yehuda Glick was nearly assassinated by a Palestinian terrorist 2 years ago in 2014. And he is now a member of the Israeli Knesset and a staunch activist for prayer on the Temple Mount and also for the rebuilding of the Third Jewish Temple. We know the great rabbinic sage known as Maimonides, or Moses ben Maimon, or the Rambam. He goes by many different names. He's one of the biggest sages in Judaism today, even though he lived, over, 800 years ago. But the rabbis say that Maimonides visited the Temple Mount 851 years ago. And when he went up on the Temple Mount, he prayed on the Temple Mount without any issue, without any problem at all. But today, major issues on the Temple Mount. I've experienced those major issues myself. But Agriculture Minister Uri Ariel was also a member of Knesset, or an MK. He oversees the Jewish Home political faction there in the Knesset, is imploring Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to open the gate to the Temple Mount for Jewish worshipers to pray. He was also one of the leading Knesset members about a year ago who called for the rebuilding of the Third Jewish Temple. Many calls in Israel today are getting louder for the rebuilding of the Third Jewish Temple. This is what Uri Ariel said, and I quote, "Open the gate to the Temple Mount. End the disgrace. End the wretchedness and the lack of sovereignty on the Temple Mount." Well, we know that the Israeli government does have full sovereignty of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. It's the Jordanian authorities, known as the Islamic Waqf, who have the custodial right, not sovereign, but custodial right, to the Temple Mount. They are the ones that are causing the trouble, up on the Temple Mount. Christians can't go up there with the Bible. Christians can't pray up there. Jews are allowed to go up there, but they're not allowed to pray. They can't even stand still and look up into the sky, even with their mouths closed, because it's to them, the Muslim authorities, it's a form of praying. And I've been up there on the Temple Mount many times. When I was up there last year, when I was teaching on the temples, on the Temple Mount in a future temple, in prophecy, all of a sudden I was disrupted. Not me personally, but I was disrupted by loud yells of Abu Akbar by the Muslims up there. Because Jews ascended the Temple Mount. They weren't praying. They weren't doing anything. They weren't causing problems. They just ascended up to the Temple Mount under police escort, and they were being accosted by the Muslim authorities. Teenagers yelling Abu Akbar as they were just walking and minding their own business. But Uri Ariel not only called for the rebuilding of a third temple, but he told Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, he said, it's time you open the gates to the Temple Mount. It's time you end the disgrace. It's time you end the wretchedness. And it's time you exercise the government's full sovereignty over the Temple Mount. Deputy Foreign Minister Zippy Hatovli of the Likud Party said Israel's foreign ministry will begin gifting foreign dignitaries with theological fines from the nearby city of David. In other words, any political dignitary from any country in the world that visits Jerusalem will be given a archaeological gift. It could be in the form of a coin, a 2,000, 3,000, 4,000-year-old coin, or oil lamp, or whatever the case is, to prove to those dignitaries that Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, and the Kotel, which is Hebrew for the Western Wall, or what Christians call the Wailing Wall, have always been Jewish. And, folks, they are gifting these foreign dignitaries because of the atrocious recent UNESCO resolution that ignored Jewish ties to the holy site in Jerusalem. And in the run-up to the 50th anniversary of the Six-Day War, in which Israel captured the Old City as well as the Temple Mount. Now, even during this conference where Yehuda Glick and Uri Ariel and where all of these other political figures in Israel were attending, there was an Arab sheikh in attendance who was also a member of the Knesset. So much for the lie of Jimmy Carter that Israel is an apartheid state. That's a lie because you have Arabs that are also members of Israeli parliament there in Jerusalem. One of them during the conference, a Zionist sheikh, got up to the podium and he read passages from the Bible to the applause of many at the conference. But then he opened the Quran and read passages out of the Quran, you know, to a less applause. And he showed from the Quran that Jerusalem was Jewish and that there were two temples that stood on the Temple Mount. He argued passionately in favor of Jewish ties to the Temple Mount. But the lie continues to go on today through UNESCO, Palestinian Authority, the Arab world, and many other anti-Semites that are out there today. If you tell a lie long enough, folks, people begin to believe it as true. Raphael Morris, who runs the Return to the Mount organization, he was arrested in April by Israeli police on his way to the Temple Mount with a live goat in tow. He wanted to go up onto the Temple Mount to prepare a ritual Passover sacrifice. And he was arrested and stopped from doing so. But this is what Raphael Morris said, and I quote, and this was at the conference, "I urge Jewish prayer alongside Christian and Muslim worship. I call for the rebuilding of a third temple and raising the Muslim sites." In other words, destroy the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. "And we will also conquer Jordan and Syria and build a real Jewish state here." Very, very interesting words from Raphael Morris, the founder of Returning to the Mount. Now, folks, what these Jewish political activists in the Israeli Knesset are calling for is indeed a page out of Bible prophecy. That's right out of Psalm chapter 24, verses 7 through 10. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty to battle. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and even be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. One day the King of glory will open the gate. And one day the King of glory will go through those gates. And one day the King of glory will reign from that very city. And one day the King of glory will reestablish the throne of David. And one day the King of glory will sit on that very throne. And one day the King of glory will erect a fourth temple, a millennial temple. And one day the King of glory will walk into that very temple and reign on David's throne from the city of Jerusalem. David said, "One day the King of glory," which is in Hebrew, "Hamelech shel Tela." Hamelech shel Tela. The King of glory will one day enter into those very gates. Hamelech shel Tela. And by the way, folks, this will fulfill Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 21 and in verse number 3, in which Jesus said, and he said unto them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." In the first century, they would turn the temple into nothing more than a bingo hall. buying, selling, trading, they upset Jesus. He made a cord of whips and overthrew the money changers and the tables and drove them out. He says, this is a house of prayer, not a house of gambling. But Jesus is quoting Isaiah chapter 56 and verse number 7, where Isaiah said, even them will I bring to my holy mountain. You'll find that phrase, holy mountain or holy mountain of God, 18 times in the Old Testament, a reference to Jerusalem. He says, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. But we know, folks, that at Jesus' second coming, he will return to Jerusalem, he will touch the Mount of Olives, and he will ride through that eastern gate, as Zechariah 14:4 says he will. And he will come one day as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as we read in Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 16. Now, folks, the eastern gate has been sealed since 1541 A.D., over 400 years by the Ottoman Turk, Suleiman the Magnificent. He sealed that gate because he inquired of the rabbi about the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 43, verses 1 through 3. And when the rabbi told him, well, yeah, that's our prophecy concerning our Messiah, that he will one day come to this city, and he's going to go through that gate, and he's going to reign from this very city. That upset Suleiman the Magnificent, so he ordered his troops to seal the gate and then put a cemetery, a Muslim cemetery, in front of that gate that you can still see today. I was standing right in front of the eastern gate, right at that Muslim cemetery, teaching prophecy. Because according to the Ottoman Turks, no holy Jewish man is going to walk through an unclean Muslim cemetery to go through that gate. That's not going to stop Jesus. But you know something? In modern times, when the British Empire defeated the Ottoman Turks December 30th, 1917, General Allenby received surrender from the Ottoman Empire in Jerusalem. After defeating the Turkish troops in the Jezreel Valley in the north of Israel, he goes to Jerusalem to do a mopping up exercise. As he approaches the Jaffa Gate while on his horse in Jerusalem, just before he approaches the Jaffa Gate, he dismounts off his horse. One of his officials said, why did you dismount off your horse and not ride into the Jaffa Gate? By saying that, General Allenby responded by saying this, and I quote, because one day my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will ride a white horse into the city. Today, I walk in. End quote. General Allenby was a born-again believer, a very God-fearing man, which is the reason why he was successful in overthrowing the Ottoman Empire and their 400-year rule in the land of Israel at that time. And then, of course, then they called it Palestine, but that's not the biblical name. But as a Christian folk, General Allenby is correct. One day Jesus will enter into the eastern gate of the city and reign from the city of Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And we know it's going to be 1,000 years because of Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 through 7, where he says six times that Jesus will reign for 1,000 years. If he said it once, that's good enough for me. But when he says it six times, folks, we need to listen up. A literal, physical, bodily reign of the Lord Jesus. And I bring this to a close with this report from the Times of Israel of Israeli politicians in the Knesset calling upon Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to open the gates of prayer on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem reminds us as students of Bible prophecy that God's prophetic word will indeed one day be fulfilled. And with that said, folks, the next prophetic event on God's calendar will indeed be the rapture of the church of the living God. The Lord will shout, the archangel will shout, The trumpet will sound, the shofar, the dead in Christ will rise first. We are alive and remain, talk together with them in the cloud, to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. And folks, given the world situation today, and what is going on in the world today, conditions are right for the soon return of Jesus at the rapture. But if you're watching right now, you're saying, "August, I don't have that assurance of going to heaven when I die. If I was to die right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. If the rapture was to happen right now, I probably would be left behind on the earth to go through that terrible 7-year period of tribulation and come. August, how can I get saved?" That was the question that was asked for Paul and Silas in Acts 16:30. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said to the Philippian jailer in verse 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." It's as simple as A, B, C. A, all of us are sinners, Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, Romans 10:13. C, confess your sins to the Lord, Romans 10:9-10. Say, "August, would you help me to do that?" I'd be more than happy to. You can pray something like this. "Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner. I have sinned against you. I believe you sent your Son to die on the cross for my sins. I deserve your judgment, and I deserve your wrath. But I repent, and Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and be my Lord and personal Savior. You died for my sins. You shed your blood for me. I ask, Lord Jesus, that your sin, that your blood wash away my sins and help me live my life for you. Make me a new creature, a new creation in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for saving me today. In your name I pray. Amen." Well, hey, if you prayed that prayer, I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email, august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. You can also visit my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Sign up for our newsletters while you are there. Look at our videos, audio, our pictures of our trips to Israel, Rome. You can support our ministry through a secure PayPal button that is on there. If our ministry has been a blessing to you, you can also inquire about our upcoming Bible Prophecy Tour to Israel in April. Actually, it will be March 25th through April the 6th, 2017, Lord willing. We'd love to have you come with us to Israel. We'll contain between 15 and 20 people. We would love to have you join us on this trip of a lifetime. So again, if you pray to God to support as a personal Savior, then you can contact me through email or through Facebook, August Rosado, through Twitter, Bible_prophecy, or through LinkedIn, Evangelist August Rosado. I want to rejoice with you and welcome you to the family of God. Don't forget, folks, Sunday morning, which will be November the 20th, I will be preaching at First Baptist Church in Bellingham, Massachusetts, for their morning Bible prophecy Sunday. So if you live in anywhere in that area, we would love to have you. And again, follow me on the social networks. Follow me on YouTube. We have all kinds of videos up on YouTube. This video will be going up onto our YouTube for all of our YouTube subscribers, and I hope you take advantage of that. Well, keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon. And remember, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Shalom.